This is Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Good to have you along. The Supreme Court is taking up an interesting, I suppose, in some minds, difficult question because it has to do with whether a couple of brutal murderers should get some sort of legal break because of how they were treated, allegedly, by the police. It's not alleged that these two individuals, Johnson and Havisham, committed first-degree murder by killing six people. In fact, in the Globe and Mail article, it starts off by saying executing six people. What did they do? Well, it was around Surrey, BC in 2007. They wanted to take over the drug trade, take some competition out. So they placed six men face down on the floor in a high rise and shot them in the head. To make this even worse, two of them were even part of the drug trade, apparently. One was a gas fitter servicing fireplaces, and the other was a neighbor, potential witnesses. So they took them out as well. They've been convicted. So what's the issue? Well, the issue is they are now complaining that they were treated egregiously by police, that they were assaulted by police, allegations of severe police misconduct, including sexual activity with potential witnesses. Several officers have charged criminally and pleaded guilty in relation to misconduct. Corrections authorities are alleged to have relented to police pressure and put the two in solitary confinement for 14 months in pretrial custody to frustrate their access to counsel and make them vulnerable to police interviews. So does that cut a break for brutal, cold-hearted murderers? That's the question in front of the Supreme Court. And joining me now to talk about that from CrimLawCanada.com, our legal analyst, Boris Potensky. Boris, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. And the issue is actually even more nuanced than you've just described it, and I'm happy to try to explain it there as well. It is a very complex case and one that I think a lot of members of the legal community are watching it because of some of the procedural issues that are involved here as well.
Okay. Well, there doesn't seem to be a question, because there have been charges against some police here, that maybe these guys were treated harshly once they came into the hands of authorities.
Yeah, it's not so much a matter of harshly. This isn't meant to be sympathy for people who are mistreated by the police. This isn't about that. It's about whether or not our system. So let me boil down the issue, if I can, very briefly. The original trial judge was asked to throw the charges out even after the conviction because of all this misconduct that was alleged. And she declined to have a full hearing on the subject because she said, effectively, even if this is true, even if all these things happened to them, we could not, you just can't throw six murder convictions because of this type of fake misconduct. And so the appeals went up from these two gentlemen, and the Court of Appeals said, yeah, they're guilty of murder. There was nothing wrong with the actual trials. Their convictions are confirmed. But they said the trial judge was wrong to summarily dismiss without hearing full argument about this claim of what we call abuse of process. And so the British Columbia Court of Appeals said, no, they're going to send it back to the trial judge. We're going to have a full hearing and decide, was this misconduct bad enough to result in the case being thrown out? And that decision is the one that's being heard by the Supreme Court of Canada on a further appeal now. So the question is twofold. One, should we be allowed to throw out these issues without even having a full hearing? And secondly, could in some circumstances police misconduct rise to a level so bad that it would justify throwing out murder charges? And that's what's at stake here.
Okay, see, that's not a difficult question for me. The answer is no. Moving on. Case decided. Because here's how I look at it, Boris. Whatever police officers, jail authorities, any of those people along the line, whatever they did wrong, whatever egregious behavior they engaged in, they should be held to account on that. It shouldn't mean some sort of get-out-of-jail-free card for vicious murderers. To me, those are two different issues. If I go out on the street tomorrow and or later this afternoon and get attacked by some crazy on the street, and they catch the crazy on the street, there'll be penalties for that guy. But there's nothing comes back to me. I just got to deal with my problems. And so in this case, put the penalty on the police officers and leave alone the decision on the murderers.
Yeah, that's a very fair position, and there are a number of people who agree with that view. And the opposing view, and I'm not really taking sides on the merits here, I'm just going to explain the opposing view, is that the criminal justice system has to be beyond reproach. And there is a situation, there is a line that you can cross, at which line lies the importance of preserving the integrity of our system above maintaining a conviction. Let me give you one analogy here. We have a rule that, generally speaking, people are entitled to be trialed within a reasonable time. So if the state doesn't try somebody with a minor offense within 18 months or a more serious offense within a longer period, the case gets thrown out regardless of the merits. And that can and has included murder charges. There have been egregious examples, extreme examples, of where a case has taken so long to be prosecuted that it gets thrown out because it's just simply taken too long, regardless of the fact that it may be a murder charge involved. And we do this, again, the notion is we want our criminal justice system to be beyond reproach, because in a case where the police, but in this case, have sexual relations with potential witness people in solitary confinement to try to force confessions. In another case, they work to build evidence, and they result in unfair trials. And if you don't at least allow for the possibility of cases being thrown out, then the police will not be in any way motivated to act within certain boundaries. If there isn't at least the possibility that their conduct will scuttle a very serious case, very serious prosecution, then they won't have the incentive to act within those boundaries. And sometimes the system is worth more than any individual case. And that's the counter-argument, Jerry, and that's what the Supreme Court of Canada is going to struggle with.
Okay, but I don't buy that, because my argument remains the same. The police would have every incentive not to act in an egregious manner if, in fact, they themselves could go to prison for what they did. Did we lose it? We were having a little trouble with Boris's signal in the first place, and it sounds to me like we just lost him. Okay.
I'm back, Jerry. I did lose you for a second.
Okay. You heard my argument, though.
Yeah, and I think that's a very valid point, except it's not always the police officers, and sometimes, the likelihood of prosecuting a police officer to try to punish them for their misdeeds sometimes is an actual deterrent, but sometimes it isn't. The system of putting somebody in solitary confinement for 14 months, I'm not sure you could find somebody to fire or somebody to hold accountable for that type of misdeed. And as I said, you're not likely to have these types of very significant acts of misconduct in a shoplifting case. If the police see somebody grabbing some fruit from a fruit stand and running away, and they tackle that person and beat them very badly, that may be a case that we say, should be thrown out, because we can't have that type of police misconduct. And as the seriousness of the case goes up, so sometimes do the police tactics. And I think the Supreme Court of Canada is going to struggle with this. I think the Supreme Court of Canada is going to be troubled by the fact that there wasn't even a full hearing on it. And I don't want to say that they're likely to put an absolute rule saying you could never throw out murder charges. But I do agree, Jerry, that the test should be very high. And if you're talking about six murders, for a case to be thrown out for an abusive process, the misconduct should be extremely serious to even get into the conversation. So I don't think we're far apart, and it's a very interesting debate.
Yep, we may be talking about it again if and when we get a decision. Boris Potensky on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
You're listening to Jerry Agar on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.